Today's scripture verse is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is the Lord's word. You may be seated. Children aged 3 to 3rd grade may be dismissed.
Well, here we are, halfway through the month of December. It's only 10 days until Christmas, and I know that the events here at church with Pastor Paul's diagnosis and death on top of all of our regularly scheduled holiday events, our family things, our school things, this season of Advent is flying by. We're only 4 days behind in our Advent family devotional readings at my house. I'm kind of thankful for that. And in a way, probably only funny to me, I thought to myself this morning, well, it's a good thing you've only been preaching one verse this month. That verse, of course, has been and continues to be John 3:16. Likely the most well-known, the most memorized verse in all of the Bible. I said to start when we began our sermon series for the Advent season that John 3:16 doesn't say everything there is to say about the gospel, about salvation, about God's plan of redemption for the world, but it does say what's necessary. It says most of what needs to be said. And that first Sunday, way back on the first, we focused our attention on, "For God so loved the world." The great love of God. And we spent some time exploring the context of this verse because being as well known as it is, we give very little thought to what happened, what was going on there when Jesus was speaking to this Pharisee, Nicodemus, and explaining to him the necessity of the regeneration of the Holy Spirit to make a person born spiritually in order that we might, as he puts it here, John, in verse 15, that we might have eternal life. Last Sunday, our attention drew to the corollary to God's great love, his great gift. And taking this verse for granted, which we often do, we were reminded that the great gift of love that God gave is his Son. He couldn't have given us a greater gift. He gave essentially himself. He gave us his presence. And we talked about the presence of someone being most of what we miss about them, most about what we love about them and long to have from them, more than any kind of material thing. Children coming home from Christmas, spending a holiday without someone important for the first time. We understand the significance of the gift of presence, don't we? So let's pray. Father, as we think about John 3:16, we know this is just one verse in your word. But not a word of it can fall. Every syllable of it is true. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of our God. And so speak, Lord. We listen this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The force of John 3:16 is on those two things, the connection between God's love and his love gift, the gift of his Son. But there is more here, and it mostly has to do with us. I've mentioned that people like to take this verse out of context and use it to suggest that God loves all people equally. A sort of universalism that says God is only love. And in his love, he sent Jesus so that everyone in the end is saved. And that surely is a lovely thought, but it's not truly loving. And most importantly, it's not true. It's not true to this text. Now, I don't want to lose you early in the sermon, and I think you are going to like this, but we have to talk about grammar a little bit today. And we have to talk about vocabulary and grammar, and I want to emphasize that having some extra knowledge about grammar or some extra knowledge about vocabulary is very helpful, as you will see, but you need to know that it is not necessary. You can understand the Bible and even the message of salvation simply by reading a good English translation, probably even reading a poor English translation. What I'm saying is that as we talk grammar for a moment, don't think that you cannot understand the Bible. Don't think you need to be an expert in original Bible languages. Don't think you need other people to tell you what it says because you can't figure it out for yourself. Nothing could be further from the truth, and that is part of what makes us Protestants. We rejected the notion back in the 16th century that we needed the educated elite to tell us the things of God. And if given the Bible in our own language, we could read it for ourselves and understand it. It's what we believe. But that is also why ministers, why preachers need to study original languages. Why in our tradition we require language training for ordination of ministry. Why Pastor Brandon, despite having one graduate Bible degree, is in the process of getting another one. And why all four of our seminarians are attending seminaries that teach the original languages. If the church loses people who can read and understand the original language, then Katie bar the door with what happens to theology and to the knowledge of the truth. It's important. But it's not necessary for all of us. There is a noteworthy grammatical item here in John 3:16, and it has to do with the word believe. Everyone look at the word believe in John 3:16. I think I mentioned previously that people who want to argue theology with me, the theology of God's sovereignty in salvation, will go to this verse and they'll repeat over and over again as if repetition proves their point or something, that whosoever believes, whosoever believes. And they're trying to say that people have the ability to themselves to choose to believe in Jesus, and when they exercise that ability, that choice, then God saves them. Now, part of the error there we have already mentioned. Jesus explained to Nicodemus earlier in the chapter that people do not have the ability themselves to choose to believe. They believe only after their hearts are changed. We call this regeneration, and that is a spiritual change, a spiritual conception and birth outside of our own control, much as our physical conception and birth was outside of our own control. That's one thing. We are saved by a work of the Spirit, not of ourselves, not from our own work. So when someone confronts me with this, I often say, yes, I believe that. I agree that whosoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. But who are the people who believe? Just as important here in John 3:16 is John the Evangelist, John the writer, his use of the word believe and how he constructs it. John's gospel is sometimes referred to as the gospel of belief because John uses this verb, to believe, more than anyone else. Something close, I think, to twice as often as Paul uses faith in Romans. John uses the verb to believe. Well, some of you say, well, John and Paul, they mean the same thing. And that is true. But how do you know? How do you know they mean the same thing? The first reason we know that the verb to believe that John uses so much is the verbal form of the noun faith that Paul uses so frequently. They are essentially the same word. The noun faith, the verb to believe. To believe means to have faith. This is very important. Do you know why? It's important because it helps us understand what belief is. What John means when he says believe, how we define true belief. So when we ask, what does it mean to believe in Jesus, we're asking the same thing as, what is saving faith? And there are essential elements to believing in something. The first one is knowledge. That makes sense. By knowledge, I mean that there are certain things you need to know in order to believe. Truths that must be acknowledged in order to have faith. John's use of this word, belief, indicates that belief requires some knowledge. Belief requires some knowledge. You have to know something about what it is you claim to believe. You have to know something about it. If you cannot articulate anything about the biblical Christian faith, who Jesus was, what the Bible's claims about him are, what he did for you, then you probably don't have true saving faith, because you don't know anything about that which you claim to believe. You have to have some knowledge about something in order to believe in it. Not an expert, mind you. The faith of a child is sufficient. More than that, the faith of a child is what's necessary, right? But you have to know something of what you claim to believe in order to truly believe it. Second, it is necessary to give assent to that knowledge, to give assent to it. Assent simply means to have assurance or to have conviction that the knowledge you claim to believe is true. Now, I am a proponent of the Electoral College. I am not a birther. I say that to give assent to the knowledge that I believe Donald Trump is the current president of the United States and Barack Obama was the president who preceded him. I not only know those facts, I give assent to those facts, that those things are true. Third, belief or saving faith also requires trust. Trust. It's more than just knowledge, and it's more than assent. In other words, giving assent to historical facts, like Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, or Winston Churchill was the prime minister during the Great War. Those facts are fine and dandy, and none of us are actually, however, trusting in either one of those guys to do anything for us today or for our future. Belief or faith involves trust, which means that we embrace these things. We embrace them fully. We commit ourselves to what they mean for us. And this is important because it is what John has in mind here when he says, whoever believes. Whoever believes, because believe it or not, grammar matters. Look again at our verse. There is another grammatical thing. There is a preposition there that is also present in the Greek, and it is an almost entirely unique construction to John. All but 9 of the 45 times we see believe plus this little preposition are from John. And that tiny little word, of course, is in. You see it there? Believe in. This means that John is not saying that mere knowledge or even assent about facts of Jesus constitutes saving faith. When he says believe in him, meaning the Son, Jesus Christ, he is speaking of this total commitment. The commitment of the person, of me and of you in our entirety to who Jesus Christ is and what he is all about. And that commitment is a forever commitment. It is not a short-term spiritual feel-good thing. It is not something that fades away. It is a conviction. It is a commitment, a total life change experience that lasts. Believe. To put it another way, this is not belief that something is true. It is belief in someone as true. Forever, all of that person. Early on in my ministry, there was a young man, probably about my age at the time, who attended the first church I served. And he'd grown up in that church. And he was a smart kid, a really bright guy. You know the type, someone probably a bit too smart for his own good, always wanting to push the envelope. I learned later he renounced Christianity altogether. But at the time, he claimed to be a Christian, but he said that he did not believe in Jesus' miraculous conception. He did not believe in the miraculous resurrection of Jesus either. He couldn't believe in the miraculous. He did not believe in all there was to believe about Jesus Christ. My seminary advisor would add that the Apostle Paul has a similar way of expressing this all-encompassing thing we call saving faith. But when Paul speaks about it, he calls himself, like he does in Romans 1, verse 1, a slave of Christ. Someone who belongs to the Supreme Master, who is the Lord of the universe. What my advisor would say is the highest privilege of all things, to believe in Christ, to be his slave. Remember, John summarizes the entirety of his gospel in chapter 20, in verses 30 and 31, when he writes, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which were not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The verse is conditional. God's love is connected to his gift, and his gift is his Son. And the condition of God's love beyond his common grace that all people receive is belief. Complete trust in the person of God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. This is why creeds like the Apostles' Creed and our own Westminster Standards are so important. They explain in detail exactly what we mean, we say, we believe. They are the facts we affirm, and an attempt to define those facts in the way that the heart of the true follower of Jesus Christ in his life, death, burial, and resurrection can comprehend. This all-encompassing faith in Jesus Christ alone. When you say you are a Christian, is this what you're saying? That you don't just know some facts about Jesus, but you affirm facts about Jesus and you are trusting in them completely for eternal life. That you have turned away from what you formerly believed and are now trusting in Christ alone. Your life is dependent on this. And it must be at the center of who you are. Let's say John 3:16 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask that you would work it deep into our hearts. That we would understand, as Nicodemus did not initially understand, that we would understand that by your grace, we can tell from the Gospels that later Nicodemus came to understand this. But by your grace, we have experienced this new birth. And that we are trusting now, as we were not before, in Christ for salvation. We believe. Grant that we would understand and believe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, as we respond to the faithful preaching of God's word, let us sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, hymn number 133. Please rise in heart and body as we sing together.
People of God, receive this word from Romans 15. Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Amen. Go in peace.
Thank you. 3. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing.
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 Hello, hello, hello.
It is on.
It is on?
Yeah. Hello? It's on. I think.
Testing.
Testing.